When Pastor first spoke to me about this, he said, well, come and share about your prayer time and devotion time and what you do and just share. And you got about 5 minutes. Then he, later in the week, called me back and said, forget what I told you. You got plenty of time. Take your time. And then, okay. And then we had our service last week. And I sat there last week and said, you can't beat that. We're not having a contest, but my goodness, the Word of God is shared, and you know, the heart of both elders, and Michael and I have this thing on Facebook. He's put stuff up there, and then I try to top him, and we're going back and forth. But praise the Lord. What God has given the means to reach the world. Amen. And you look back, and I'm going to be 62. And I know to some of you out there, my Sunday school class said, oh, you're just a youngster. Don't worry about it. but I look back and I think, you know, growing up in the 50s, and I'm thinking, who ever thought about the year 2000? You know, and now it's 2010. And then, you know, television just, you know, began. I was given it for Christmas from the boys and Leanne. This DVD set of old movies, James Cagney from the 30s and John Wayne from the 30s or 40s or early. And my goodness, yeah, I was raised on that stuff. I watched that stuff and always felt like I lived in the wrong century. My goal in life until later, was to have a ranch. And I thought those cattle drives and the Chisholm Trail and all that, that would have been great to live then, you know. And now I go back to Laverne and it's not even the same, you know. Can't even imagine. It seems like a whole lifetime ago. But the Lord then has given the knowledge, and you think about, well, where it said that the whole world go and preach to every creature, and I'm hearing the prophecy guys say, you know, the Lord will return when everyone in every language and dialect has heard the gospel. And, well, how's that going to happen? Wow, it's happening in our time. The computer, the satellites, and you can go on, I don't know, type in the subject. Of course, Satan uses it too, but you type in the subject. Map of Jesus' ministry. Instantly, it appears. There is about 20 sites. Somebody puts it on there, takes the time. And Patrick knows this. He programs stuff in and creates it. And it takes time to do that. I'm bugging him every day. He's working on a program for somebody. Well, you done yet? No, I got a few more days. You know, it takes time to put that stuff in there. And here's some maps. Jesus went here. He went here. And we're looking at it this morning in my Sunday school class. And it's just amazing. Somebody takes the time and put it there, and it's free for us. You know, the knowledge that God has given to us. and the dialects and the message going out around the world. And then we'll be able to see it. And it's going to be amazing. Now, I'm looking forward to the time. Okay, they say that they're pretty close. The Wycliffe translators and others, they're pretty close. They've identified just about every dialect and language on the earth. And they're busy translating. And, of course, the computers helped them do it faster, too. And it's going to happen. Heard Greg Glory on the radio this week. He's preaching on the end times, and he was talking about America. Okay, I want to hear this about America. And he starts preaching on it, and he went right to the rapture. He says, this is what's going to happen. This is the next thing, and we Christians, we're going to be gone. The Lord's going to take us. And then he started talking about America and the rest of the world after that. Wow, that's all I need to know then. I'll have to. Now, that doesn't mean I don't pray for America. It doesn't mean I don't pray for our leaders as we're commanded to and stuff. But I said all that to say this. We have the opportunity to share the gospel and help hasten the return of the Lord. And we've done that through the One Hope Project. Imagine, can you imagine? How many churches? Four? Five? $20,000? But you think, you know, wow, how can we reach the world? We're just one little church. No, look at what the Lord's done. Amen. We are a part of God's economy and what's happening. And it's just amazing. And so I pray, okay, Lord, like John closing out Revelation, Lord, come quickly. And we're looking for his return. So if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to just share a few more minutes about praying and rejoicing and the will of God, Paul says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and I'll come back to that. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So, I'm one that looks at all the context and try to put it together, what the Lord's saying. And you know that Paul's exhorting the Thessalonians. He just talks to them about the end times at the beginning of the chapel and all those who are asleep, and then the Lord's going to come. And then he's going to, you comfort yourselves, and then he exhorts them and admonish them. And he says, now exhort the brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, all of these things. And don't render evil unto evil, you know, and all these in the first 15 verses. But I came back to these verses, and then I looked at the ending, and he goes on and he says, in the very peace of God you'll get, he's going to preserve you till he comes. Faithful is he that called you. And then he asks for prayer for himself. And then he ends verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And that's where he ends the whole book. You know, and then he goes on to the 2 Thessalonians. But I went back and I started reading these from the other way. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Do not despise prophesying. And people that prophesy, well, in this context, what he's talking about, he's not telling about the future tellers. He's talking about the forth tellers, the preaching. Don't despise the preaching of the word. And what's happening in our day and time is people are doing exactly that. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to go and feel good and hear that they're okay. Don't preach to me about, what is old time gospel, hellfire and brimstone, and scare you into heaven. There's a balance. God of love, John 3:16, but John 17:18 says, if you don't believe, you're condemned already. Why? Because you don't believe. And Pastor already alluded to that about one way. Jesus said that. I'm the truth, the way, and the life. Nobody comes except drawn by the Holy Spirit and my Father, by the word, by the preaching of the word. But people despise that. They don't want to hear that. And then there are, the stadiums will fill. There are people that do want to hear the word of God. The fairgrounds will be filled at this conference coming up. Greg Loring, Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham. Yeah, they still fill stadiums. There are people preaching the word. But the majority of the world is just still out there, just like what we saw on the news. You heard Bill O'Reilly there. And I don't know how much other, that was a great clip. And if you don't know Bill O'Reilly's background, he's a Catholic, but he believes. And he believes the Bible. And he'll even challenge the Pope, even on air. I've heard him. But he's a cynic. When you start talking about, you kept saying, hearing, well, we're not trying to put down the Buddhist religion. We're not trying to tolerate, we're not trying to, he'll water it down that way. Now, Brit Hume was a gracious Christian gentleman. No, I really wasn't trying to focus on the negative about Buddhism, but I was just trying to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And O'Reilly wouldn't let him try to get it out. You heard him interrupt him there a little bit, see? But Brit, as gracious as he is, got it out. God, his heart was there. You could see the Spirit was leading. And it's just great. So it's there. So don't despise that preaching. And Dr. Criswell here in my Bible has this: prophesying, a form of public proclamation or preaching, is a rather unique Christian communication which may be held in contempt occasionally even by believers. Thus, this prohibition, which is in effect, urges attentive hearing of prophecy is given. So Paul says, hey, don't despise it, but rather listen. Listen to the word. Obey the word. Follow the word. Prove it. And then when you look at verse 19 then, because you're going to hear the word, then he says, don't quench the spirit. Now remember, he's speaking to believers. He's speaking to you and I. So he says, don't quench the Holy Spirit that indwells in you. When the Spirit guides you, when you hear that word and you're going to act on it, don't quench it. Because this is the will of God for you. People all the time are calling into the radio station and, you know, on the radio and stuff, and you know, what's the will of God? You know, what does the Bible say about this? Is it okay to do this, this, and this? Well, listen to the word. Follow the word. That's the will of God. Don't quench the Spirit. So the phrase quench not the Spirit may be rendered stop quenching the Spirit, suggesting the cessation of an action which is in progress. So he's hearing about the Thessalonians. Look, you're not listening to the word, you're not following, you've been quenching the Spirit, so stop quenching the Spirit. Let the Spirit work in your life. Let it be an ongoing action in your life. Even when you don't feel like it. It's not a feeling. Amen. It's a relationship with the Lord. And I may not want to get up in the morning and Sunday and go to church, go to Sunday school. But he says, don't quench the Spirit. Come and hear the word. Come and be in fellowship. Then in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I'm suggesting that all of these things is God's will for us. So in everything give thanks then, even when I don't feel like it. Even when things are upside down. So the giving of thanks in all things does not imply that all things are good. Rather, the Christian is charged with the giving of thanks because of his confidence in the providence of God. Romans 8, 38, 39. Now, I heard James McDonald preach on this this week. He's saying, well, it's just amazing. Even all... sometimes our shortcomings, because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And what's the difference in somebody else's life and your life as a Christian? The grace of God and not quenching the Spirit. But when, you know, and the people always ask that, well, how come bad things happen to good people? Well, good things happen to bad people too. I don't know. But a Christian, they're just trying to live on that edge. They're just, I heard another fellow yesterday. I didn't catch his name. Just turned on the radio when I was going to the store, and there he was preaching on fence walkers. They come right up to the edge. They want to be Christians that have, here's the boundaries. Well, they don't want the boundaries, he said, because, oh, I don't want to cross the boundary. No, they want to see how close they can get. They want to sin. And he says, and other people, they don't like boundaries because I don't want somebody telling me what to do. Lord gives us an instruction. He gives us a will. See, when he says quench not the Spirit, that means I can quench the Spirit. Remember he said there that you Thessalonians are quenching the Spirit. Stop it! So We need to stop. We need to choose. And he gives us barriers. He gives us the commands. You know, the multitude that heard him said it's too hard. We walk away. Left with the few. And I hope you're one of the few that have followed Jesus. So everything, even the good, the bad, and the ugly, give thanks. Because this is the will of God for you. That he takes those circumstances. He'll take even our shortcomings and we learn from it. We don't continue making the same mistake. Now some of us, including me, that's hard sometimes. We make the same mistake. And then we'll go on and we make the same mistake again. We learn a little bit more. But what he's talking about is a whole life. You know, don't live this way. When you have accepted Christ and now you begin that walk with him, it's all going the opposite direction. Yeah, we might turn back a little bit and make the same mistake. But then he forgives us and we go on. Now, we didn't lose it, but we'll suffer those consequences. He's trying to teach us, taking all things, the circumstances, and go on. And then we learn from it. And McDonald says, you know, we're increasingly. And if you're not increasingly growing in grace, then you might be dead.
That's right.
Because again, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we know him, we're turning away and we're growing. We're becoming increasingly more like him.
Amen.
We won't ever attain that in this life. But you can look back. Look back from the time that you accepted Christ and to where you are now. Is it the same? If it's the same, then the connection might not be right. But if you're turned away and say, wow, not me, but what God's done for me. Away from those things and don't keep living that life of sin, making those same mistakes. Then he guides us. It's in all things. So in everything, give thanks. Then the verse 16, rejoice evermore then. And then pray without ceasing. Now that praying without ceasing, I 15, 16 years of age and reading that, I thought, wow, I've got to become a monk somewhere and stay on my knees everywhere. He says, go pray in your closet. Don't pray like the Pharisee does, or stand there and beat your chest, or don't let people see. And then in other places, he said, and then Paul says, well, we'll pray without ceasing. So how do I go isolate myself somewhere? Yeah, I think there's a time. I think there's a time for quiet time. I think there's a time, and mine, you don't want to copy mine. Mine's 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And it doesn't matter what time zone I'm in. I can go back to the Philippines today. I will be up at 4 o'clock Filipino time. My Bible, my body just does that. And then I come back here, and it's Pacific Standard Time or Daylight Savings Time. Even the Daylight Savings Time doesn't even affect it. But then that's why I said 3 or 4, because it's hour different. But I'm up. And I'll be praying and reading my Bible. And I learned something in the last couple of weeks to start reading more devotionally. My New Testament
teacher in seminary, was also our preaching teacher and teaching us and stuff and how to write sermons and stuff. And he says, and you guys that are pastoring, and I just started preaching at this little country church, and he says, now you're studying for your Old Testament class, you're studying for church history, you're studying New Testament, you know, or if you're doing whatever, he says, where are you going to have time? So he says, when you study for New Testament, you study devotionally. And you read not just my notes or the textbook, you read the Bible text devotionally, but then prepare your messages and let, you know, so it's all in one and the same, because there's not enough hours in a day and in the week to do that. Well, I tried to practice that. And then I took up the challenge. He says, pick a book and preach through it. So I went, okay. And I started the book of John at the church I was pastoring, and it took me 6 months. We started chapter one, and it took me 6 months. Went through it. Then I read, well, Dr. Criswell, it took him 50 years. Go from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, wow, okay. But then I realized, you know, that's great. God prepares you, you grow, you're convicted of what you see and stuff. But I learned something in the last couple of months. And I heard some pastors talking, and they were talking about the time, and these are big name pastors and speakers on the radio and writer of books and stuff. You know, and they said, no, one or two of them said, no, I read devotionally different than what I'm preaching. And he said, the one speaker said he takes 20 hours to study, prepare for his message. And if he's preached on the text before, he said, well, it takes him about 10, because he's familiar with, you know, everything. But he said, but I read devotionally different. And I thought, wow, Lord, I need to do that. I've been practicing for over 20 years the other way. And you have blessed me, and you have not anything I've done, and I've grown through your word. But I want to set a better example. And you can, Jimmy's not here, but you can ask RG. I'm not as consistent with them as I should be. And I have been in the past. And we've tried to be more consistent as a family, and I've tried different ways. But I've found now, if I read devotionally something else, rather than what I want to share with them, rather than what I'm teaching my Sunday school class or preparing a message, then God is big enough to bless you and convict you of what he has for you. You still learn from the other, but you need to spend the time. And I thought, if that's good enough for Swindoll and Lori and McDonald and, you know, these big time preachers, I thought, who am I not to be following and reading God's word separately and devotionally? And God's really convicted me about that. So pray without ceasing. And I came back to that in this order, because then the giving of all things, again, doesn't mean that they're good, everything's good. And it doesn't mean, okay, if I'm praying without ceasing, even during the bad times, you know, bad things that happen,
And then Dr. Criswell said this: this frequently misunderstood verse does not mean that one is to be praying every minute. So no, I don't need to be a monk somewhere and hidden and never, you know, confront anything live. Nor does it necessarily call for an individual's maintaining always an attitude of prayer. And I always took it that way. I always thought, no, you've got to have an attitude of prayer. An attitude, how are you thankful without being prayerful? Yeah. And praying about it, you know. And give thanks in everything. Pray without ceasing. I thought those things go together. Well, I think they do go together. But it's, again, it's not something that I can do by myself, my own self. The Holy Spirit guides you. And so, doesn't mean I have to pray every minute. And he says, nor does it necessarily call for an individual's maintaining an attitude in prayer. The verse does insist upon an uninterrupted practice of prayer regarding all matters. And Dr. Criswell said that that's what the heart is. You're looking and asking him to guide you in all things. You give thanks in all things. And then, that's why I think the next verse, Paul put it here. In everything give thanks then, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is his will. That you will pray and ask guidance from him in all things. The good, the bad, and the ugly, every time it is something happens. Now, I also don't mean that, okay, I'm going to get in the car. Oh, Lord, did I go eat McDonald's today? And he's going to tell me? No, he gives us those boundaries again, see? He gives us the green pastures to feed on. And he's not saying, go eat, I hope you eat the right green leaf. No. He lets you make your choice. So again, when I pray and when I'm asking and seeking his will, it's in these contexts. I know I'm not supposed to quench the spirit. I know I'm not supposed to despise the word, and I'm to prove all things. And I'm supposed to persevere, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all evil and the appearance of all evil. That's the will of God. That's how I know the will of God. So the individual things, and there's a lot more on that. I don't have time to go in now because you don't want to be a stumbling block to your brother. Paul says it's lawful for you, but maybe for your brother, it's not good if he sees you, so you don't do those things. No. But it's, again, in his guidelines, and he's there. So I would encourage you today is find what's comfortable for you in your schedule daily. Be in the word and pray and ask God's guidance and blessings. Now sometimes, like I say, mine's at 3-4 in the morning, and sometimes I'm reviewing the day before that just happened, and then I'm trying to prepare for the day that's coming. So I give thanks. What did I learn? What do I still need to learn? And then, okay, how do I go about today? What are you going to bring today? And each day, and I think that's what he means in Matthew 6:33, you know, and 34 is, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Take care of today. Give thanks for today in everything. Thank you.